Good morning. Just a couple of announcements. One, a lost, not found yet announcement. The chime that we use to signal the end of meditation, that usually lives right up here, has gone on a walkabout. If you happen to locate it, please return it to its little home, maybe with a cookie up here on the stage. Thank you. And we have a very special announcement this morning from Amy Say and Paula Hellman.
Good morning. Today is the first day of LCUC's annual Time, Talent, and Treasure Silent Auction. For those of you who may not know about it, members and friends donate their time, talents, and treasures. Then over the course of three Sundays in October, everyone has the opportunity to bid on these items. This year, to kick off the auction, we will be auctioning off one of Paula Hillman's homemade apple cranberry cinnamon pies. It's made with Wisconsin apples and Wisconsin cranberries. Feel free to serve it with Wisconsin ice cream, too. Are your mouths watering yet? We will be accepting bids on the pie today until 11:45, so the winning bidder will take that pie that you see and smell. You'll take it home with you today. So be sure to come in the social hall after the service and place your bid on the pie, as well as many other wonderful and fantastic items. Thank you.
We live between the act of awakening and the act of surrender. Each morning we awaken to the light and the invitation to a new day in the world of time. At night we surrender to the dark to be taken to play in the world of dreams where time is no more. At birth we were awakened and emerged to become visible in the world. At death, we will surrender again to the dark and become invisible. Awakening and surrender. They frame each day and each life, and between them is the journey where anything can happen, the beauty and the frailty. May we share these moments in our journeys. Come, let us worship together. Please take just a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to your neighbor.
Of our chalice be a guide as our lives circle through seasons and years. Please rise in body or spirit and sing with us our first hymn, number 95, There Is More Love Somewhere. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we work to surround this community with love in everything we do. My name is Sue Andrews, and this old crone is honored to be your worship associate this morning. Welcome, you beautiful young sprouts. Welcome, you blooming, fruiting, sturdy plants. Welcome, you beautiful, knurled and bent old stalks. No matter who you are, where you've come from, you are welcome here. Whatever slings and arrows of outrageous fortune have caused you travail, you are welcome here. LCUUC is a UUA recognized welcoming congregation, which means we welcome and affirm queer and trans people and all people, regardless of who they love, whether they are a he, she, ni, ze, or they. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service. And while you're there, stop by the welcome table to check out the information there. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming events, and friends, members, and guests, visitors are all encouraged to join us in those activities. Like and follow LCUUC on Facebook and check out our webpage for important information. And the upcoming services. Please take a moment at this point in the service to silence your electronic noisemakers and any other, well, I guess not. We can't silence all the noisemakers, can we? But we welcome them. We are so delighted and pleased to have you worship with us today.
clouds from the sky. Back to the days of Christopher Robin. Funny to me how certain things seem to follow us all through our lives. It was all said and done, I was watching my son as he slept with that bear by his side. So I tucked him in, kissed him, and as I was going, I swear that old bear whispered, boy, welcome home. So help me if you can, I've gotta get back to the house at Blue Corner by one. You'd be surprised, there's so much to be done. No count all the bees in the hive, chase all the clouds from the sky. Back to the days of Christopher Robin. Back to the days of Christopher Robin. Back to the days
We try hard here at LCUUC to take care of our community. And one of the ways we do that is by contributing to the food pantries around us financially and by collecting non-perishables. So if you've brought non-perishables today, please bring them forward or have one of the children bring them forward for you. And I invite all the children to come up front and enjoy a story with me. And we're going to be facing this way today, guys. Face the screen. Today's story is called The Atrocious Fairy Tale by Daniel Errico, and Daniel is going to read it for us. And if you don't know the word atrocious, let me tell you, it means absolutely terrible. So please join me in today's atrocious fairy tale.
I must warn you, this book is atrocious. The characters are odd, and one of the pages has sprung a leak. Even some of the order are in the wrong words. It is the worst of the worst, so don't say I didn't warn you. Our story begins with an atrocious king. None of his rules made any sense.
Tuesday, said the king. There is no such day, and I'll hear no more of it.
From that day on in his kingdom, Monday was followed by Second Monday or First Wednesday. His daughter was an atrocious princess. She was not fancy and polite like most princesses, despite taking princess lessons each day. She never brushed her hair. She smelled of month-old bananas, and she was very devious. She even set traps inside this story. One day, the princess went missing. In her place, there was a note that read, I've taken the princess. You me catch never will. After reading the note twice, the king commanded the greatest hero in the land to find his daughter. The greatest hero in the land happened to be an atrocious hero. He was often too frightened to leave his home and got scared by butterflies. However, he had once defeated two caterpillars and a moth in a single battle, and this made him the greatest of all the heroes in the land. The hero rode to the castle of the meanest villain in the kingdom. But the villain, too, was atrocious. He brought flowers to old ladies whenever he could. And out of the kindness of his heart, he once built a house for someone who needed it. The hero. The hero stormed the gate and charged into the dungeon of the villain's castle.
Surrender the princess,
he yelled while shaking in his armor.
I don't have a princess, said the villain. I use this dungeon to bake cookies. but watch your step, because there's a leak.
The hero was more confused than usual.
If you didn't take the princess, then who did?
Asked the hero.
We should go ask the dragon what he thinks.
Mind you, this was an atrocious dragon. He was known for being smart, not fierce and ferocious like dragons are supposed to be. He brushed his teeth every night, and when he breathed, there was no fire, just minty freshness. The dragon was very upset when they found him.
Someone stole my gold, and they left this note in its place, he cried.
It read, "Your gold is with the princess. Mine it is now."
This is odd, said the hero.
Very odd, said the villain.
Said the dragon, who always flossed his teeth when he was upset.
Perhaps the queen knows something.
The queen was running around the castle when they arrived. She was actually not so atrocious. She hired the royal scribes.
My treasures are missing, she cried. My books and jewels and fine silk. Someone has taken them and left this atrocious note.
It read, "Your treasure is mine. Don't try to bother find it."
Whoever has stolen your treasure has the princess, said the hero.
Here are some flowers, said the villain.
Look,
said the dragon.
There are footprints of dirt on the floor.
They followed the footprints all the way up to the tallest tower in the tallest part of the castle. When they looked inside, they found all the gold, books, jewels, and silk covered in dirt. And sitting on a throne on top of the pile was the princess.
Why did you steal these things?
Asked the queen.
I didn't want to go to my riding lessons, said the princess.
Who needs it?
You do,
said the queen. The villain, knight, and dragon all agreed. The princess had to return what she had stolen, apologize, and go to her lessons 6 days a week. She was an atrocious student when they began, but she got better each day. It took the dragon hours to brush all the dirt off his coins. The villain developed a taste for soggy cookies and baked them all the time. The hero decided it was finally time to battle the butterfly, and lost. The queen insisted that the entire atrocious tale be written inside of one of her muddy books. I warned you this book was atrocious, and now it is over. Perhaps one day you could write a better one.
Thank you all for listening to today's atrocious tale. Could I have my lantern bearer? May the light and love of our chalice lead you all today and every day. If you all would follow our lantern bearer out, and if you all would help me sing the children out, the song is called "For You Shall Go Out," and the words are written in your order of service. A minister was fresh out of seminary and wanting to practice her interviewing skills and knowing she was in no way qualified, she boldly submitted her name to the search committee of the largest, oldest, and wealthiest church in the denomination. She was indeed amazed and completely overwhelmed a few weeks later when they told her she had gotten the position. "I feel at a nudist camp," the shocked minister said. "I know what to do, but I have no idea where to start." In order that we might start this year's finances unburdened by great debt, the morning offering will now be given and received. Our thanks for these gifts given and received for the life and the work of this community.
This whole world is our neighborhood, and there's no passing through, we are only passing through, passing through, passing through, we are only passing through.
This is the time in our service where we share together our joys and our concerns from this week. We do this in a few ways. Before the service, the candle table's here, and you're welcome to come up and silently light a candle. During the service, we speak aloud. So would anyone who has a joy or a concern to share, please raise your hand, and one of the ushers will bring you a microphone.
Good morning, I'm Alyssa. That song sums up perfectly the candle of concern I'll hope you light. That a week ago, a young man and myself happened to be driving along the same country road, just the, you know, following each other, and our paths crossed as his car crashed, and I was able to sit with him in his car until more capable hands came. And I don't know how he's doing now. I heard Flight for Life had came and taken him. But whatever the outcome was of that, I hope he or his family has found comfort.
Good morning. My concern is right now for what's happening in the Middle East. It seems to be getting worse and worse with Turkey and Putin. And I think whatever you believe in, whether it's prayer or just sending energy or just sending light, please do it to that part of the world.
Hi, I'm Terry. Please light a candle for my mom. She's having surgery at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning for a complete hip replacement. She's 90 years old. And also just keep my dad in your thoughts also as he sits there and waits for the doctor to come out and say everything's gone perfect. Thanks.
Hi, this is Brian, and I think we need a giant candle for all the indigenous peoples that have been decimated since the year 1500.
Hello, I am Heidi, and I have a joy. Yesterday was a great family day where we played games and the kids were playing outside, and it was just a lot of fun.
I'm Amy. Please light a candle in memory of Kevin's beloved Uncle Pat, who passed away this Friday from lung cancer.
Just one candle. Good news, we are buying a house, or in the process of buying a house, and we're very excited about that. Small hitch. Julie and the boys were in a car accident on Saturday. They are okay. They walked away from the accident with minor bumps and bruises. Julie, though, has a pretty bad concussion that's gotten worse over the week, so she's been in bed and kind of like a continuing migraine. She seems better today than she has all week, so I'm hoping that another week of rest will do the trick, but one candle for both of those. The yin and the yang.
And we light our last candle today for all of those joys and all of those sorrows that we hold deeply, but which we have not been able to name here today.
I inhale and exhale in regular rhythm, an act so common it never occurs to me to pay attention. And when I do, I am overwhelmed with the wonder of it. I eat my food as I have done for 1,000 days, a practice so frequent I hardly notice the miraculous million events that happen in my body. And when I do, I am taken with their singular beauty. I greet my loved ones as I have greeted them for years, a habit I pass off casually until I realize the deep poignancy of greetings and farewells. How precious they are. How they touch deeper feeling chords each time. Perhaps it is middle age or old age, or perhaps sentiment grows in me, or perhaps I am awakening to life in ways transcending my usual semi-awake state of being. The poignancy of living in these days penetrates me, burrows deep into psyche or soul or spirit, I know not what. I only know that I feel things more deeply with the passing years, that the common things of life become uncommon, that the ordinary becomes extraordinary, that the habitual becomes sacred. Bittersweet is the poignancy of living in these days. I awaken myself and bow down with deep gratitude. Here ends the first reading.
As we think about the reading and about the poignancy and fragility of life and living in these days, please join me in a silent moment of thought, meditation, or the spirit of prayer.
Bad things are going to happen. Your tomatoes will grow a fungus, and your cat will get run over. Someone will leave the bag with the ice cream melting in the car and throw your blue cashmere sweater into the dryer. Your husband will sleep with a girl your daughter's age, her breasts spilling out of her blouse. Or your wife will remember that she's a lesbian and run off with the woman next door. The other cat, the one you never really liked, will contract a disease that requires you to pry open its feverish mouth every 4 hours for a month. Your parents will die. No matter how many vitamins you take, how much Pilates, you'll lose your keys, your hair, and your memory. If your daughter doesn't plug her heart into every socket she passes, you'll come home to find your son has emptied your refrigerator, dragged it to the curb, and called the used appliance store. Drug money. There's a Buddhist story of a woman chased by a tiger. When she comes to a cliff, she sees a sturdy vine and climbs halfway down. But there's a tiger below also. And two mice, one white and one black, scurry out and begin to gnaw the vine. At this point, she notices a wild strawberry growing from a crevice. She looks up, looks down, looks at the mice. Then she eats the strawberry. So here's the view, the breeze, the pulse in your throat. Your wallet will be stolen. You'll get fat. You'll slip on the bathroom tiles of a foreign hotel and crack your hip. You'll be lonely. Oh, taste how sweet and tart the red juice is. How the tiny seeds crunch between your teeth. Here ends the second reading. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing number 354, We Laugh, We Cry.
Ready.
Buzzing, ain't done nothing since I woke up today.
How the hell can person go to work in the morning, come home in the evening, and have nothing to say?
Make me an angel
that flies from Montgomery. Of a no rodeo. Just give me one thing that I can hold on to believe in this living is just a
hard way to go. So what's it mean to be alive, to age, to participate in the circle game that's our existence? I'm sure that the study of statistics isn't going to be something that makes most of you go, wow, this is why I come to church, a few engineers accepted. So I'm going to be very, very broad here. If you take statistics, and if you take a statistic, say our human lifespan, and you put all those lifespans on a graph, you're going to be able to work out that the average American lives somewhere between 72 and 80 years. Natural death, not accidents, but 72 to 80 years. The further we get from this average, younger or older, the fewer people die at that age, naturally. So 90 is wonderful. 100, impressive. 110 is rare, 115, pretty darn rare. But the number I want you to think about right now is 122 years, 164 days. That's the time span from February of 1875 to August of 1997. Jean Calmet was born in February of 1875. Let me tell you a little bit about what was happening that year. It was illegal to be black and live in Oregon. Wang Zhu became the 11th Kang Dynasty Emperor of China. The Tonto Apache were forced at gunpoint by the U.S. Cavalry under Brigadier General George Cook onto the San Carlos Apache Reservation. Emperor Johannes IV of Ethiopia defeated an Egyptian army led by Werner Munzinger. The American Indian Wars began. Boss Tweed escaped prison and fled to Cuba, all in 1875. Earmuffs had been invented 2 years earlier. They were a hot new trend. Electric lights weren't invented. The telephone existed, but was not yet available for private homes. The Civil War had only been over for 10 years. And the first gas engine was still 10 years in the future. The horse and buggy were king, and the steam engine a new brat prince. Jean Calmet died in August of 1997, the longest lived human ever recorded. One woman who spanned the years from emperors, horses, buggies, to computers, space programs, vaccinations, GMOs, and the internet. It was an amazing life, amazing, but the only one in history ever to be that long. So we have a baseline. We get somewhere between 0 and 123 years. What a range, huh? No matter what we do, no matter how good our medical care, no matter how bad our medical care, no matter how perfect our genes or how much money we manage to amass, what God or goddess we believe or don't believe in, we come into this world with our return ticket pre-punched. Writer and poet Charles Ferdinand Rameau says, "It is because everything must come to an end that everything is so very beautiful." At first reading, that seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? We never want the good to end. We don't want to lose our parents or our partners. We don't want our children and friends to suffer the pain of losing us. We don't want to die, not particularly. But it is that limitation, that fragility that makes it so precious. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, the psychiatrist and author, said, "It's not the end of the physical body that should worry us. Rather, our concern must be to live while we're alive, to release our inner selves from the spiritual death that comes with living behind a facade designed to conform to every external definition of who and what we are and should be." The Shawnee chief Tecumseh said, "When your time comes to die, be not like those whose hearts are filled with the fear of death, so that when their time comes, they weep and they pray for a little more time to live their lives over again in different ways. Sing your song. Die like a hero going home. It's all a circle." We're born, and for the first 25 years or so, we spend our time learning how our machinery works, don't we? You know nothing when you come into the world. You think Play-Doh is food. We're sponges for sensory input. Everything is new and amazing. Until we're taught to be afraid, we search out experience, and we tell everybody about it. Sometimes until our parents would have liked to have removed us from it. We ask the neighbor why her hair looks funny. We tell everyone we have new underwear or that mommy burped in the store. We color our sky with purple and gold crayons. We try things like mixing jelly with hot dogs and painting our brother with peanut butter. We're brave because we don't understand about limitation. We don't understand about failure. We don't understand about being a loser. We're excited that there's such a thing as hot dogs and jelly. We don't worry about the how. We're brave. We're immortal. And so is everyone around us. We focus on the what. We are prophets and artists and dreamers of dreams. For the first third of our lives, we live a world that is based on reality we can comprehend experientially, with some growing understanding of concrete and abstract limitation. In his book, The Prophetic Imagination, Walter Brueggemann says, "The prophet engages in fantasy. The prophet doesn't ask if the vision can be implemented, for the question of implementation is of no consequence until the vision can be imagined. The imagination must come first." Our culture is competent to implement almost anything and to imagine almost nothing. The same royal consciousness that makes it possible to implement anything and everything is the one that shrinks our imagination, because imagination is a danger. Every totalitarian regime is frightened of the artist. It's the vocation of the prophet to keep alive the ministry of imagination, conjuring and proposing futures alternate to the single one the king wants to urge as the only thinkable one. At the beginning of our lives, we are these artists. We hold these visions of alternate futures. We see differently, unburdened by society's expectations and restraint. Brueggemann goes on to say, "Hope, on one hand, is an absurdity too embarrassing to speak about, for it flies in the face of those claims we have been told are facts. Hope is the refusal to accept the reading of reality, which is the majority opinion. One does that only at great experiential, existential, and political risk. On the other hand, hope is subversive. It limits the grandiose pretension of the present. As we grow into the second third of our lives, we've learned to live in our physical bodies. And the 5-year-old who confidently announced he was going to grow up to be an elephant has decided to be a research analyst instead. We feel ourselves beginning to age, and the first real realization of the tenuousness of life begins to take hold. The challenge of our middle years is living up to our own prophetic dreams and holding on to our hope. We are called to realize over and over that, yes, time is moving on, and yes, we can still move toward the world we want to live in. It all comes back to fragility and hope and wonder. You have 123 years or less. What are you doing with it? What is your absurd hope, your grandiose pretension, your political and existential risk? You've learned how your body works. You've learned that you can't drink coffee after 8 p.m. You know not to roll in poison oak, and that too much Halloween candy will make you sick. You exercise at least a little bit, but those are the mechanics. The middle years require you to look forward and backward simultaneously. What did you dream? What did you hope? What are you doing to make it happen? Who are you doing it with? How wonderful that there are people to live and love with. How wonderful to realize that in a limited lifetime, someone has chosen to spend 6 months or a year or 5 years or 40 years with you as a friend or a partner or both. How amazing that in a contained existence, you have worked for 1 hour, 1 week, 10 years, or any time, helping to make the world a better place. In the final third of our lives, the circle begins to close, and we have to discover all over again what our bodies can and cannot do. We gain and lose weight. We lose our vision. We lose our glasses. We gain new diagnosis, sometimes new neurosis, and just like when we were toddlers, the whole world seems to change day by day. And hopefully we realize that any possible afterlife doesn't matter, and that our immortality rests not in keeping our machinery moving, but in what we've done. Our eternity comes in how we've lived and loved and changed the world one day at a time. So if I were to dare to give you advice, I would say this. Okay, take care of your body. You don't come with replacement parts and we've lost the manual. Know that you are beautiful just the way that you are. If the people around you wouldn't like you if they really knew you, find new people. You are not a mistake. Take the time to really experience each thing that you do. And if every day you are doing things that you don't want to experience, make a change. It's not too late. It is never too late. Wonder about everything you see. Hope for the future. Remember that a lot of things are absolutely pure luck. So don't kick yourself or gloat too much. Most of it was chance. Laugh when you can. Cry when you need to. Try it all. And when it comes time to lay it down, when you reach the end, let it be with great sadness that you could not have one more day, but also with incredible joy. A tired kid coming home to bed at the end of a very long day, and be able to say honestly, wasn't it all marvelous? Wasn't it all marvelous? Amen. We are going to do a very brief polylog today. We have time for just a few things. So if you have something you would like to add, please raise your hand and the usher will bring you a microphone. And again, please keep it brief so anyone who wants to can participate.
Thank you, Amy. I've always felt that your soul is the good and evil left behind when that last breath leaves your lips. And I would just like to meet the Grim Reaper without regrets and just spend each day keeping those things in mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. This is Lynn. You just so much remind me that you, Amy has a website and she's got her reflections on ministry. We should all read that. I have it out on the welcome table. Your ministry is here to help us. You're providing the space for us to be everything you just talked about, to hope, to dream, you know, to be our best selves. And it's just such a gift. So thank you.
Hi, this is Mark. I kept thinking about a simple quote. It might even be from the movie Pollyanna. If you look for the bad, you'll find it. But if you look for the good, you'll find it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Amy. This is Jim. I was reminded of the Ram Dass saying, we're all just walking each other home. And
yeah,
that crossed my mind a couple times during your wonderful service.
This is Diane. I just keep thinking about that strawberry.
All right, thank you all.
Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing hymn 1012 in the Teal Hymnal.
Today it is heaped at your feet. It has found its end in you, the love of all days, both past and forever. Universal joy, universal sorrow, universal life. Go into the world knowing that you are the memories of all loves merged in this one love of ours, and the songs of every poet past and forever. Peace, and may it be so.